Hi there. I'm Mark Swallow, and I'm glad you are joining me for today's God Is podcast. Let's get started learning who God is. Thank you for joining me today from wherever you are and by however you listen, as we meet together coast to coast here in the United States and all the way around the world. Today we open a new section in Genesis chapter 2 and our ongoing series, God and Man and Woman. As we get started in Genesis 2 and verse 18, we come now to the creation of the first woman. Earlier in Genesis 2 verse 7, we read and we discussed how God created man. And soon in Genesis 2, verses 21 and 22, we will read and discuss how God creates the woman. God created man and woman. God created male and female. And this is the true account of just how God did this. Here is how I want to approach the creation of woman. I want to read for us something in Genesis 1, then come back here to Genesis 2 and read again. After that, I will point you to a general observation. Then we will dive down into the details of Genesis 2, verse 18. I hope this is acceptable to you. Good. I shall take your silence as agreement. And let me warn you before we begin, this will entail quite a bit of Bible reading. This is best done if you can have your own Bible open and you'll read along with me in the text. But if you are out and about, otherwise occupied, and cannot do that, it will require a little more of your ears. I'll perk them up a bit. Just give them a little wiggle with your fingers. Let's open our Bibles to Genesis chapter 1 and verse 26. I will read verses 26 through 31. This is Genesis 1, verses 26 to 31. And if you are curious, I always read from the New American Standard Bible, the NASB. Then God said, "Let us make man in our image, according to our likeness, and let them rule over the fish of the sea, and over the birds of the sky, and over the cattle, and over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creeps on the earth." God created man in his own image. In the image of God he created him. Male and female he created them. God blessed them, and God said to them, "Be fruitful, and multiply, and fill the earth, and subdue it, and rule over the fish of the sea, and over the birds of the sky, and over every living thing that moves on the earth." Then God said, "Behold, I have given you every plant yielding seed that is on the surface of all the earth, and every tree which has fruit yielding seed. It shall be food for you. And to every beast of the earth, and to every bird of the sky, and to everything that moves on the earth which has life, I have given every green plant for food." And it was so. God saw all that he had made, and behold, it was very good. And there was evening, and there was morning, the sixth day. If you followed along, then you heard that God made man and God made woman. God made male and female. You heard that God made animals, and God made plants and trees. You also heard God say to man and woman to be fruitful and to multiply, and God told the man and the woman to rule over the animals. And now let me read Genesis chapter 2, verses 18 through 25. This is the second chapter of Genesis, beginning in verse 18 and reading all the way down to verse 25. Please give ear to God's holy word. "Then the Lord God said, 'It is not good for the man to be alone. I will make him a helper suitable for him.' Out of the ground the Lord God formed every beast of the field and every bird of the sky, and brought them to the man to see what he would call them. And whatever the man called a living creature, that was its name. The man gave names to all the cattle, and to the birds of the sky, and to every beast of the field, but for Adam there was not found a helper suitable for him. So the Lord God caused a deep sleep to fall upon the man, and he slept. Then he took one of his ribs and closed up the flesh at that place. The Lord God fashioned into a woman the rib which he had taken from the man and brought her to the man. The man said, This is now bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman, because she was taken out of man. For this reason, a man shall leave his father and his mother and be joined to his wife, and they shall become one flesh. And the man and his wife were both naked and were not ashamed. Did you notice the similarities between Genesis 1 and Genesis 2? Again, we have man and then the creation of the woman. Again, we have animals, living creatures. And here we see man ruling over the animals, man naming the animals evidences this. We always rule over that which we name. We always rule over that which we name. And here we have the context in which male and female will be fruitful and multiply. Sex within the context of marriage. Obviously, my point in reading these two passages of the scripture next to one another is to highlight for you the similarities and to make this point. What we have in Genesis 1 is an overview of the creation. It comes to us then in detail in Genesis 2. These are not two separate creations. This is one creation. Genesis 1 is the overview. Genesis 2 is the detail. This is the genius of how God put together his word, and this is the genius in how Moses wrote it down. To make sure we capture this point, let me share with you an example. The animals that we read about in Genesis 2 were already in existence from Genesis 1. The beast of the field and the birds of the sky in Genesis 2:19 are the same animals that God had made in Genesis 1. It is just that Genesis 1 introduces us to the story, and then Genesis 2 draws us into the detailed narrative. This is how the book of Genesis needs to be read and understood. And if you will read it this way, then what follows in the days ahead will make much more sense. What I have said thus far today is necessary background for our study. Okay, I hope you are with me as we begin the week together. And now let me read again Genesis 2, verse 18, before I comment on it. Then the Lord God said, "It is not good for the man to be alone. I will make a helper suitable for him." As I have emphasized before, whenever we have this phrase, "then the Lord God said," we should pay close attention. This is God speaking here. And I believe with this statement, he lets us in on a deliberation within his own majestic mind. God concludes that, A, it is not good for the man to be alone. And B, therefore, I will make a helper suitable for the man. Here we see the mind of God at work. This is the omniscient God. And you might have noticed that for the first time, we have not good in relation to God's creation. In Genesis 1, again and again, we have it was good and it was very good. But here we have a not good. It is not good for the man to be alone. For those of you who have noticed this potential discrepancy and are curious about it, let me say that I believe by not good, God means that man is incomplete. In a sense, man is not finished. God still has more to do for the man. What is not good? The not good is man being alone. The not good is man living in isolation, man being by himself, man in solitude. This is what is not good. Still, other keen listeners will have observed that man is not alone. God is with man. A good point. I have thought of that myself. Well, this is very interesting, isn't it? The man Adam has God. Who else would he need? It turns out, in the estimation of God, man still needs, requires the woman. Man needs someone like himself. Man needs woman. A man has been created by God to be a social being. There is a great point of application here for us men. We need women. Now, do not allow your mind to dart straight over to sex. And that is always a temptation for us men. But here, we need women to complete us. Every so often, we will hear from some religious leader who teaches that for man to be at his best spiritually, he should recuse himself from society, live alone or in a closed-off community or society of other men, deny all his desires, and even to be celibate. Marriage is viewed in a very negative light, feeling that the marriage relationship takes away from the man's relationship with God, to God. Note, for example, the Roman Catholic Church's views on the priesthood. There has always been the movements that push or draw men to live as hermits do. You may be thinking of the monastics. And of course, asceticism is often associated with this kind of isolation. Asceticism being the rigorous abstention from self-indulgence. This includes relationships with women. But while there are certain aspects to being alone or to being isolated from other people, including women, for a period of time, think Jesus in the wilderness, the Bible teaches, beginning right here in Genesis 2, that man was not made to be alone. It is not good that man be alone, according to God. Again, please do not misunderstand me. I myself value quiet time all alone with no other person, including my beloved wife, so that I can rest, think, pray, and listen to the voice of God. I dare say most of you listening to me right now need more silence and solitude in your life, not less. However, what we are learning today is that God did not think it was a good idea for man to always be alone. Yes, God is with man at Genesis 2:18. In that sense, man is not alone. And yet, God himself announces that man needs the woman. Man has been created by God to be a social being. More on this on the next God Is. Thank you for listening to this God Is podcast. Drop me an email and tell me what you think. Mark@godisministry.org. That's mark@godisministry.org. Please do share this with others and be sure and join me for the next one.